We'll turn first to one verse in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again for the third day according to the Scriptures. A verse in Galatians, the first chapter. Verse 3, Galatians 1. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. The sixth chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7 and verse 16. And they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord set him in. I would like to especially notice in this passage that we have read the three times that God speaks. If we were to look at the book of Job, we would see that God speaketh once, yea, twice. And then it tells us how God speaks in various ways to man. But he speaks also the third time. And oh, how solemn when he speaks the third time. You will notice in the chapter that we read in verse 3, the first time he spoke. Now, it doesn't tell us who he spoke to. It simply says he spoke. Now, there were three men of faith living on the earth up until at least 5 years before the flood. There was Noah. There was his father, Lamech, who died 5 years before the flood. And there was the grandfather, Methuselah, who lived up until the time of the flood. Now, whether God spoke to these or not, we don't know. We're not told. But God spoke. And the words that he spoke were these: My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, dear friends, tonight, God has not told you that you will have 120 years to receive the gospel. He has not told you that you will have 120 days. He has said, Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We have been reading about how Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Why was all this? Because man was lost. Man was undone. And if you read in the 38th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew, you will see the conditions described on the earth, and how they're just like the days of the Son of Man when he comes again. And as we read that, we marvel that he hasn't come, because the earth is corrupt today. If you should read in the 22nd chapter of Job, we would have described the conditions on the earth before the flood, as we have here. There we find that men said to God, Depart from us, in the 15th verse of the 22nd chapter of Job. But it says, Yet he filled their houses with good things. And dear friends, when was there ever a period in this world, and especially in this land that we live, when there was such prosperity as there is today? Yes, he filled their houses with good things. But what do all these good things amount to when it has to do with the salvation of a precious soul? And what has God done about that? Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God hasn't given you 120 years or 120 days. But he's given you that precious now. Now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And what have you done about this? Are you going to do what they did about it in that day? As we have in Matthew, that they lived it up right up to the day of the flood.
They lived it up, as the world says. What?
The pleasures that only satisfy for the moment, and they're gone forever. My dear friend, you have a precious soul. It's going to live forever. And it's going to live either with Christ in glory or with the damned in hell. And what is your choice tonight? We have read in the 1 Corinthians the way of salvation, how that Jesus died, was buried, He rose again. So where is He now? He's at God's right hand, and the thief in the cross is up there too. Not at God's right hand, but He's in the paradise. Was He worthy to be there? No. But He's there. Because the one who's worthy to be there brought Him there. And the one who's worthy to be there, Jesus, is the one who'll bring you there, if you simply believe. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have here what God says, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Supposing then that His spirit was striving with man for these 120 years. 120 years. The Spirit of God striving with man. Oh, how stubborn our hearts are. That we would resist the striving of the Holy Spirit of God when He wants to bring us eternal salvation. And dear friends, tonight, there's a reason, just like David said to his brother, Is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause. It's your companions or your habits that are keeping you away from Jesus. Is it not so? Is it not so that your companions or your habits are keeping you from Jesus tonight? Why don't you come and take Him as your Savior? We find that not only was the earth corrupted by man, but we find also that Peter tells us about the angels that sinned and added to that corruption on the earth. Think of it. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Dear friends, after the church of God is taken away, Satan will be cast out of heaven. And he'll have no other place but earth. And he's going to work fast and furious, as you can see described in the book of Revelation, to gather as many as he can to be damned for all eternity. But the Spirit of God is working tonight, thank God, that souls might be saved from that coming judgment, because judgment it will be. Now we find in the fifth verse, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And God repented that he'd made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Now the seventh verse, God speaks again. We don't know who he spoke to, but he spoke. It must have been to the men on earth. How? We're not told. But he spoke. Oh, how many ways God speaks. He spoke to men. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. First he warns there will be 120 years. Now he says, I will destroy the earth and the man that has corrupted it. That's what God has said.
Now God has spoken twice. Oh, how Solomon God speaks.
Do you and I have an ear to listen when God is speaking? When it has to do with the destiny of your soul? Because that's what the gospel is about. The gospel has to do with God's invitation and His glad tidings. That precious blood that was shed at Calvary's cross, that alone can put away guilt. The precious Savior who came down from the glory that He might lay down His life as a sacrifice and as a substitute for everyone who is willing to believe that they might be saved. So God has spoken. Noah found grace. 8th verse, in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. Now, dear friends, man naturally is a legal creature. He wants to do something, if he can, to deliver himself. But we find Noah is in a position where he can do nothing to deliver himself. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was in the midst of a world that was corrupt, and he was going to go down with it. Except for one thing, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Dear friends, there's only one thing that can save your soul, and that's the mercy of God. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous. No, not one. You cannot plead righteousness in any way. And if you could plead human righteousness, there is still no promise of heaven as far as human righteousness is concerned. No, God has a righteousness that He gives to everyone who believes in Jesus. It's not human righteousness, it's divine righteousness. And it's given because of the redemption found through the work of Jesus, and it's given to those who simply believe. I'm aware tonight that most in this room know the way of salvation. But dear friends, this is a gospel meeting. And we want to make it plain that you're lost. You're on your way to hell unless you have Christ as your Savior. And the only way for salvation is through that precious blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. If you despise that, you have nothing else to rest upon. The precious blood of Christ. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's not one thing that Noah could do. And there wasn't one thing that he did do in that sense, except obey the word of God. Now in the next we find that Noah has three sons. And we find also that these sons grow up and they have wives. And then God speaks again. The third time. Oh, how solemn this third time. This is the last time God speaks. Solemn, isn't it? And what does He say? He's speaking now to Noah. Who He was speaking to before, I don't know. But He's now speaking to Noah. 13th verse, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Do you believe that has changed, dear friends? No, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. It's true that a new generation has risen and the world is again populated, but the end of all flesh is come before me. The flesh on the earth at that day perished except 8 souls. And dear friends, there's a day coming when the streets of Los Angeles and Ottawa in Europe
will be filled with dead bodies. You believe that? Read the 25th of Jeremiah and see. The day of the Lord. Oh, I know there's going to be a great white throne someday. But there's also the judgment of the living. Remember that. And there's a judgment coming, and it may be very, very soon, upon all those who've rejected the overtures of mercy that have been sounding out all these years, and even tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. I want you to turn to a verse in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Notice that, righteousness, which is by faith. Noah warned of God things that weren't yet seen. Noah was a wise man. He was a wise man. How about you tonight? Are you being warned of things not seen? Because you can be sure of this, my friend. The judgment is coming. We invite you by the loving kindness of God, His mercy, to receive Christ as your Savior. But we solemnly warn you, as Noah was warned of judgment to come. And Noah embraced his whole house, and he obeyed, and he built an ark. Now, what does it say about it? He condemned the world by that act, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He condemned the world by his act. I don't think Noah was a very popular man. And you won't be if you're a Christian either in this world. But he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Just what do you want, dear friend? Do you want to live your 70 years out, if possible? And then take your chances with the rest of them? When God has plainly declared that the soul that sinneth shall die. Isn't that plain enough? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Isn't that plain enough? What is an ark? Well, it's a refuge. It's a sanctuary. But I like the description given by Noah Webster in his dictionary. It's an enclosure containing something sacred and precious. That's an ark. Is that where you want to be? The things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do you want to be in a place an enclosure? My friend, that's precious, sacred, something of value to God. Is that where you want to be? Or are you going to take your chances with a world that's going on to destruction? I repeat, dear friends, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
What kind of a thing was this ark? Well, it was built according to specifications that were exactly right, scientifically, to carry a boat carrying freight, which it was designed for, and safe. Exactly so. It gives the dimensions. And men have designed ships since from those very dimensions. But I want to tell you something about this ark. It was covered with pitch inside and out. What does that tell us? Oh, dear friends, I don't have to tell you. It's the precious blood of Christ. Pitch inside and out. It's that and only that will keep you from the waters of judgment. Pitch. Must have been an odd sight. Because in the second chapter of Genesis we're told that it had not rained. And what do you think the people who had no faith thought as they saw that black monster sitting on dry land? What do you think they thought? And dear friends, tonight the Lord Jesus could say, if they have rejected me, they'll reject you. What do you suppose the people of Nineveh, the neighbors of the people of Nineveh, thought when the king commanded everyone to cover themselves with sackcloth? Must have been a strange sight to the neighbors, to the nearby cities. But God spared Nineveh. He spared Nineveh. And there were 8 souls in that ark, and they rode to safety on the waters of judgment. That ark is Christ. Are you going to get into the enclosure tonight that God regards precious? Precious? Are you going to take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Or are you going on and on until it's forever too late? Make thee an ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Oh, how good for Noah to be able to see the pitch on the inside of the ark. To know that that pitch was covered inside and out. That saved him from the judgment that surrounded him. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But, dear friends, it's the blood of Christ that gives us peace. Inside and out. Peace. Do you have peace tonight? You don't have if you don't have Jesus. You're looking on in fear to the coming wrath of God. And it's coming. 3 souls were saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his 2 daughters. 8 souls were saved at the time of the flood. And dear friends, there's a day coming when God is going to take the church out of this world. Home to glory. Christ is coming for his church. And if you're unsaved and it's tonight, and it could be, you'll be left behind. Can you picture the relatives of Noah, of his sons' wives, as they finally realized what was happening as that ark rose above on the waters and they were scrambling for the higher places to get out of the water because it hadn't rained before? Can you picture the consternation of those who had lived in pleasure up until the very moment of the ark and the flood upon it?
As they saw the waters rising, and it was too late. But dear friends, it tells us that after they were all in the ark, Noah, his sons, their wives, the animals, two of every kind, except the clean animals, there were seven, because God had to have his part. And it's from those seven, the clean animals, that Noah sacrificed on a new earth, where God smelled a sweet savor, a savor of rest, because it spoke of Christ and his finished work. But can you picture those relatives, those friends, on that hour? And I solemnly warn you, dear friends, tonight, that the Lord Jesus could come this very moment. And when he comes, there will be a knocking on the door. And the Lord Jesus will say to you, if you're unsaved, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And you will say, "But we've taught in the streets. We've done miracles. We've done this and we've done that." "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because they didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and were not sheltered under that precious blood. "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Oh, dear friends, tonight, why do you linger? Why do you wait? Dear children, you have been brought up in Christian homes. You won't be saved because your father's a Christian or your mother. It's been said, you know, that everyone had to walk up that gangplank in the ark by themselves. Yes, sir, every one of them had to go in on personal faith. Are you going into the ark tonight? It's Christ. And remember, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now, I'd like to notice the scripture. You know the story of the flood very well. There's no use of me reading it all again. But I'd like to turn to Peter. First Peter, the third chapter, the 18th verse, we read at the end of the verse, "By the Spirit," the third chapter of 1 Peter, "by the Spirit by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, were in few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water. The like figure were unto even baptism also now saved, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Now a verse in 2 Peter, the second chapter, fourth verse. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Dear friends, what characterized the world before the flood? Not only wickedness, violence, and corruption, but ungodliness. ungodliness. They said to God, "Depart from us." And God departed from them. There was a gospel meeting in southern Illinois years ago, and Brother Blount was preaching. I believe it. It may have been in Kentucky. I'm not sure. And a little girl invited a friend of hers to the meetings. But her father didn't want her to come. But after much persuasion, her father said, "All right, you can come, but I'm going with you." And she came. And she was convicted that night as being a sinner before a holy God. And when she went home, she said to her father, "Father, I'm going to take Jesus Christ as my Savior." Her father threatened her life. She said, "All right, Father." A few days later, she fell sick. And the doctor said she won't live. Her father said, came to her, he said, "I know why. It's because I threatened you and you did not answer when God spoke. Now take Jesus your Savior." That's the trouble. "Father's too late." Too late. Too late. Oh, dear friends, when the Spirit of God speaks, answer. Don't wait. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Dear young sister here tonight, are you going to spend eternity in hell? Or are you going to spend it with Christ in glory? You have heard the gospel year after year, and yet you sit there in that seat and you've never responded. Why? Companions, habits. You know that the gospel, the grace of God, delivers us from this present evil world, as we read in Galatians. Delivers us from it completely. When Noah landed on a new earth, he sent up a sacrifice which was a fragrance of rest that God smelled. It was Christ. Do you have Christ? Some years ago, possibly 40 years ago, some of you remember the great earthquake in Chile and the tremendous tidal waves that resulted. And there was an American gunboat in the harbor, one of the harbors of Chile, and a Peruvian man of war. And in this little city in the harbor, there were trains, locomotives standing on the tracks. And after the earthquake, the tidal wave swept in, and it took the locomotives out to sea. It deposited the battleship 2 miles inland. Think of it, the power of God. And yet you're resisting that power tonight, dear friends. And because of the kind of country it was, volcanic ash, they buried their dead in tiers, sitting in position, covered with a shroud in the side of the mountain. And that tidal wave not only swept away the gun emplacements in the side of the mountain of the fort, but it swept all the ashes away that covered the dead. And there sat the dead in rows upon the side of the mountain. And the officer that sent his report into Washington, he said, "Doomsday had come," I thought. Doomsday had come. What's doomsday, my friend? According to his mind, the day when everything was going to end. My dear friends, tonight,
There's a day coming when you're going to have to meet God. You're going to have to do about your sins. There's a day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. Are you ready for it? Or would you rather take the other route? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Which route are you going to take tonight? Oh, what a solemn thing. That great white throne, as the dead come forth, and they stand before God to give an account as the books are opened. Would you like the books opened of your whole life tonight, dear friends? Would you like it opened? It'll be opened. Be sure of that. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, the books will be opened. And everything that's written in there will be brought forth. And you'll not escape till you pay the very last mite, which you can never pay. But tonight, oh, dear ones, tonight, take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. All sin. And God says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. They're gone forever. Which route are you going to take? Because tonight you're making a decision, whether you think so or not. As you go out of that door tonight, you've either decided for or against Jesus Christ. You may have all the religion in the world. You may have a background of religion, but it'll do you no good without Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but that precious name of Jesus. Oh, dear friend, think of His coming down from heaven just for you. Oh, you say He came down for a lot of people. But I'll tell you right now, that if you were the only sinner in this world, Jesus would have come for you. Yes, He would. That's the love of God. Do you believe that? He would have come for you. You know why He would have come for you? Just to deliver you from hell? No, because He wants your company in heaven for all eternity. He wants sinners saved by grace. And He wants them as His companions eternally. Why does God take up rebel sinners? Why doesn't He find some righteous ones? In the first place, He can't find any. There was only one, that was Jesus. But the second place is, oh, how it magnifies the grace of God. To take a poor, vile sinner, a beggar from the dunghill, that he might inherit the throne of glory. My friend, I tell you, that's just like God. And you don't know Him. Don't you want to know Him tonight? And we will repeat once more as we close. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved.